you've proposed some fundamental changes to the political system and the process, the democratic process, like lowering the voting age to 16, introducing ranked choice voting on a national level. Do you see New Hampshire voters as receptive to these fundamental changes? Have they been telling you that this is what they want?
Ranked choice voting, there's a lot of enthusiasm for it here in New Hampshire. And I would say that and democracy dollars, which is putting $100 in the hands of every American voter so that they can recapture our political leadership and our democracy from the corporate interests. Those are the most important proposals. Lowering the voting age, I do think, is the right move, but that's something that I have not spoken to New Hampshire voters as much about, and it's not as central to my platform.
There is a lot of talk with Democratic candidates in this race about some real big fundamental changes in general. Do you feel that that is something that would receive bipartisan support?
Certainly, there's an appetite for change in the sense that no one's looking up and saying that they're thrilled about the way things are going in our government. And I believe that led to Donald Trump's victory in 2016 and that those difficulties have been ongoing. So we need to start fixing some of the structural problems that are making it hard for Americans to believe that our government can solve the problems of the 21st century.
One of your central promises so far has been for universal basic income, which you're calling a freedom dividend. You've even set up an example of how that could work by giving a family here in New Hampshire in Goffstown specifically $1,000 a month. Why put this at the center of your candidacy?
Well, I'm motivated by, again, solving the problems that got Donald Trump elected. And if you look here in New Hampshire, you see many main streets are closing down. Many people are unsure how they can find a path forward when their houses are underwater and their schools are shrinking. And so if you're trying to solve those problems, you need to make an economy that works for people again, a trickle-up economy. And that starts with a universal basic income. And I was very happy to illustrate that $1,000 a month improves people's lives with the Fossey family in Goffstown.
How does it work, though? How does that work on a national level? Where is that funded from?
Well, the great thing is our economy is up to a record $20 trillion, up $5 trillion in the last 12 years. We can easily afford a $1,000 dividend for every American adult, and this would put more economic freedom and autonomy into the hands of Americans around the country. What we are doing right now for the Fossey family, we can do for every family in New Hampshire. What we have to change is we have to put people in New Hampshire in position to win from all the new innovations that are coming out of Silicon Valley around artificial intelligence, self-driving cars and trucks.
But getting back to the nuts and bolts of this, you say we can easily afford it. Of course, this is a time of record deficits. We've seen even, huge deficits with the recent tax cuts and so on. How does it pay for itself in the long run?
Well, so here's the wonderful thing. If you imagine a New Hampshire where everyone has $1,000 a month, a lot of that money is going to get spent right here in New Hampshire. It's going to grow Main Street businesses. It's going to grow the regional economy. It's going to create over 2 million jobs around the country, including more than 15,000 right here in New Hampshire. And a lot of that money just comes right back to the American people in the form of tax receipts. It would generate over $400 billion in new revenue. It would make our families stronger and healthier and better educated and mentally healthier, all of which would grow the economy. And it would, over time, reduce direct spending on things like incarceration and homelessness services and emergency room health care. So this truly is a trickle-up economy from people, families, and communities up. We would get a lot of the money back. We have to do what good organizations and good companies do, which is invest in our people, and then we'll all be in position to win.
How do you get bipartisan support for a plan like that?
Well, the wonderful thing is that this has been in effect for almost 40 years in one state, Alaska, where they've had a petroleum dividend of $1,000 to $2,000 per individual for years. And that's a deep red conservative state. It was passed by a Republican governor. So as my campaign gathers strength, people will see that this is not left or right, it's forward. And as president, this is going to be my top priority in delivering to the American people. And then the people in New Hampshire will say, oh my gosh, the government actually did something right for a change.
New Hampshire's been hit hard by the opioid epidemic. I'm sure you're aware of that. You've proposed decriminalizing possession and use of small amounts of opioids. Why do you think that decriminalization is a central part of combating the crisis? How would that help?
Well, right now we have to focus on getting treatment and resources to people who are struggling with addiction, and people who are struggling with addiction are often concerned about getting a criminal record or facing some sort of legal penalties for possessing and using illegal substances. Now, let me say this is a federal responsibility in part because the feds let this happen when Purdue Pharma started dispensing hundreds of thousands of prescriptions around the country. And so it's a responsibility for us to put resources into the hands of New Hampshire communities so that we can start to try and reverse this plague. And that starts with knowing that it's not a jail cell that should be awaiting people who need treatment. It should be treatment resources.
Is that bothering? Can you hear that?
It's going to stop in a second.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Well, what would you say to law enforcement agencies that might feel like that's taking away a tool of theirs in dealing with drug-related crime?
You know, from the materials I've seen, that there is an opinion among many law enforcement officials that criminalizing this behavior is not necessarily helping improve matters, and that they're open to different approaches.
So your idea is really obviously don't punish the users, but you look at the larger traffickers.
Yes. So obviously, if you're running a criminal enterprise and profiting on the deaths and overdoses of others, then you need to go to jail. But that's not the average user. And so it's very, very easy for law enforcement authorities to distinguish between someone who has drugs for personal use and someone who's running a drug dealing enterprise.
New Hampshire has a low unemployment rate, and employers are having a hard time retaining and recruiting workers here. You've been an entrepreneur. You've obviously had solutions in hiring. What kind of solutions do you have for economic development in rural communities specifically?
Well, the biggest challenge for rural communities is retaining people, retaining young people, and creating a path forward. And so putting $1,000 a month in the hands of people in northern New Hampshire and rural communities would be a game changer for individuals and families, but would also create a path forward for local businesses in those communities, and it would help everyone make better adjustments. When I speak to rural communities, they say that this $1,000 a month dividend is the most powerful thing they've heard that might actually help turn things around for many of them.
Has anyone been critical of the idea? As you've talked to them, you've gone around the state, talked to different people. Has anyone been critical of the idea and challenged you on it?
Well, for a lot of people, it's just a desire for more information and education, where they say, how would that work? Where does the money come from? How is this possible? And then when I walk through the mechanics, then you can almost see their minds start to consider the possibilities, because they know that we need to bring new solutions to bear for the economy of the 21st century, that the relationships that have stood the test of time for the last number of years are now breaking down.
You've talked a lot about the problem with, future employment as things become more automated. We need a newer economy. What about education, job training?
So I'm all for education and job training, particularly vocational and apprenticeship and technical education that leads to resilient jobs. But we also have to face facts and see that federally funded retraining programs have very low success rates in terms of retraining people who've lost industrial employment. And truck driving is one of the most common jobs here in New Hampshire. My friends in Silicon Valley are working on trucks that can drive themselves, and they tell me that they'll be on the road in the next 5 to 10 years. And so if you say, we're going to retrain the truck drivers, like, that may or may not be practical for a significant proportion of people who now drive a truck for a living.
Anything else that you'd like to include that I didn't ask you?
So I love coming to New Hampshire because the people here know that the future of the country rests in your hands, and that if you present a vision for an economy that works for people, that vision can take hold and sweep the rest of the country very, very quickly.
Andrew Yang, thank you for the time.
Thank you. It's always great to be back.